Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
I like that scripture. It says that the flames will not touch me. The water will not overwhelm me. That's the scripture. That's the book of Isaiah. I'll go through it, through the fire. I'll go through the water. And as a believer, don't feel guilty when you don't feel fear when others feel fear. Because he has not given us a spirit of fear. Maybe circumstances bring fear to our heart, to our thinking, but that's not from him. So we embrace his perfect love that casts out all fear. And we'll go through those struggles of life. And this morning I'm going to preach a sermon that is very emphatic. This is no disrespect to anything that has happened in your lives, because you have suffered pain and loss, and it's a grievous thing to see somebody's life cut short by untoward events. But the only way that we can survive and bring hope to this world is by pointing positive. Right. Now, my name is not Robert Schuller, and this is not the power of positive thinking. I'm not just talking about Thinking and Growing Rich by Napoleon Hale. This is not about a mind over matter thing, but this is about a scriptural principle. Paul's at the end of his journey. This is in the same area where he will eventually say, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day, and not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing. So if you and I are ready and we're fighting and we're pressing, we can say amen to the words of the Apostle Paul and saying, that's what's at the end of the line for me. So regardless or irregardless of what happens in my days on this earth, as long as I am fighting and I finish and I keep, that's what's waiting for me. And so all the negativity that swirls around us, and I could bring it all up and I'll just touch on, we can look at our economy, we can look at our politics, we can look at what's happened in Afghanistan, we can look at last week, the hurricane that happened in Haiti and thousands lost their lives, and there's more tropical storms blowing in across the southern and eastern seaboard of North America, and we can look at the collapse of man's best laid plans. But I am here to tell us that there is a God that is in control, and he's in control of your life and my life, and that's where it really counts. And so Paul says in 2 Timothy 1 and 12, for this reason, the gospel of Jesus Christ, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him until that day, which is the day of his glorious appearing. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard in me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. He said, I know who I have believed. I know who Jesus is. I know his character. Great is thy faithfulness, O God. And I am persuaded, I am convinced beyond any doubt that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Let's thank him for that commitment. Thank you, God, for keeping what we've given to you. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, and you may be seated. The inspiration for this message comes from an experience I had this summer. We were on vacation just a few weeks ago near Lake Tahoe, that spans the borders of Nevada and California. And one of the enjoyable activities that we had scheduled for that week was whitewater rafting on the Truckee River. We anticipated the activity for many days, and we were gathering in the parking lot of a nondescript building, and we entered the building and we signed in and paid the fee, and we waited for the time to board the bus. It felt as if we were all grown-up kids ready for an adventure. We stepped onto that yellow bus with those high back seats and no seat belts. And as we pulled onto the roadway, one of the team members stood and began to give a rundown of what we should expect for the rest of our experience. I had a flashback to outdoor school. And you're all on the bus, and it's not just you. It's people from other schools around, and you don't know everybody. And the counselor is saying, now, we own you for the next 4 days. We then settle in for the lengthy ride to the starting point of our whitewater adventure. And in about 40 minutes, we arrived at the point, and we gathered outside the bus that had transported us to the location. And each one of us were given three items, a helmet, a life vest, and a paddle. And we were instructed how to use the safety equipment, and I should have brought one today. And we were told, now this is how you put on a life vest, and make sure you buckle all three buckles and cinch it up good, and make sure this is a... You wear it right, because if you don't wear it right and you happen to fall overboard and we reach down to pull you up, your life jacket might slip off and we might rescue the life jacket instead of you. The essentiality of how that safety equipment was worn was important. And next was a short walk down the steep path to the river's edge. And the head guide proceeded to gather us for an orientation speech. And he stood up on a log and he spoke real loud. And he informed us of what was about to happen. He explained that there were dangers and the journey was approximately 2 hours, and at times we would float along on placid, clear waters, and then we would transition from the lazy to the torrents in just moments, and we would be running class 2 and 3 rapids that day. He named and described each nature of the rapids and, you know, the rock in the middle that you could hit and the overhanging branch that could take out your head and the swirling stuff and the 4 foot drop off. And he explained all the things that could happen. It's kind of like you and I seeing people walk through life and following Jesus. And there are pitfalls, and we're warned of them in the scripture. And then he demonstrated the proper paddle techniques forward and backward and each side paddling the opposite direction and if you wanted to turn a circle. And we did not need to worry about the steering because the guide would hold the rudder paddle and he would determine which direction we would approach the river and the rapids. And then he said, stroking together is very important. You got to use your body, not just your arms. And so you rake down and lean back, or rake down and push forward, push backwards. And then he also explained that if we get in a difficult situation, please listen to your guide, because he may say, high side, high side, high side, and you all got to move to one side of the raft and get up to the high side so that you're not swamped and turn over. And then the rescuing techniques that they would use, a rope that they might throw, and what do you do when we throw the rope? And of course, the obvious answer, it took some of us a while to get bold to say something, well, you grab the rope. What if we throw a life ring? Well, you grab the life ring. And the guide was with us, and regular coaching would be given as we went down the river. We were then given instruction and a demonstration on how to retrieve our fellow traveler should they fall over. And he was standing on a stump, the teacher was, and brought a little boy up, and he had his vest properly attached. And he says, now, if your friend falls over, then you reach and you grab them by this hook or this tab, and you pull them. And when you do, you fall over backwards so that your weight will pull the individual into the boat. Or you grab them by the front of the vest if that's the only way that you can get a hold of them, should they go overboard. Now, the lead off to the final statements that our guide would make caught my attention. He said, if you are in danger or you fall overboard, we as guides will always be pointing positive. We will point to a branch for you to grab nearby, or we will point to the nearest raft where you can latch on for safety, or we will point to a paddle that is extended to you, or we will point to the life ring or the rope that has been tossed to you. The statement was then repeated. Watch and listen to the voice of your guide. Look at us. We will always be pointing positive. I am so glad that we have a Savior that showed us in the midst of very difficult times, He could point to the positive. It could be so negative, but Jesus just has to say, look over here. Look what I can do, or look at me, or look at my extended hand, or listen to my voice. Dilemmas did come in the lifetime of Jesus. Trouble did present itself. Negative circumstances did arise. But what happened when Jesus pointed positive? When Jesus saw the blind man who had been there from birth, He pointed positive. And in John 9:5, He said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. He did not deny the fact that the man couldn't see, or that he had been born that way and he had no idea what it was he would be looking at if he could see. And so Jesus said, but I am the light of the world. And He spit on the ground and He mixed it up and He made mud and He slapped it in the guy's eyes and He sent him to the pool of Siloam, and the man came seeing. Why? Because Jesus had pointed positive. He could have just walked on by, but Jesus knew that He was the light of the world. We've got to remember that Jesus is the light of the world. We've got to point positive. I was in getting my oil changed recently, and I hadn't been in for a while because my truck sits most of the time, and I took it in, and the old guy had lost quite a bit of weight that was behind the counter, and I said, how you doing? And he said, the worst day of my life. And I said, really? And he's kind of a negative, crotchety old guy anyway. And so I thought, well, but he lost quite a bit of weight. And I said, what's going on? He says, my life is over. And I said, why? He said, yesterday they tell me I have lung cancer. And I said, they can do something? He says, oh, they can slow it down. But they cannot cure me. I never smoke, never do any of that in my life. How come I have lung cancer? That is not fair. And as I began to talk to him, I said, listen, I'm going to pray for you. Do you mind if I pray for you? And he turned the TV off and he said, sure, you can pray for him. And I told him about God healing you of mouth cancer, Brother Tony. And I told him about God healing Sister Di of stage 4 multiple myeloma. And he said, oh, good, I'll be second one that is healed. And I said, oh no, there's dozens that have been healed. And he said, I'll take anything. You just pray for me. And so we prayed, and the sweet presence of God moved into that place. And when I left, he said, maybe this is why you came today, to give me something good in my life. I determined that I was going to point positive. Yes, I grieved with him, but I said, there's still hope, because I know the one that heals all of our diseases. Jesus was introduced to a woman. It was during a feast time, and those that introduced the woman to him said, hey, we caught her in adultery in the very act. And Moses said, we should kill her. We should stone her publicly. But Jesus pointed positive. He pointed at the ground and began to write, and he challenged the others eventually to search their own hearts. And then he gave a release and said, any of you who are innocent can pass judgment. And as the accusers walked away, Jesus asked the woman who was left, Where are thine accusers? And in John 8 and 11, she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, John said to her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Jesus pointed positive in her situation. He did not endorse her lifestyle. He didn't say that's all right. But he pointed to hope. Instead of being killed, she now had hope. And he said, see, there's the way to walk. Now don't do it again. I am so glad God can release us from our prison of guilt, from our prison of sin, from our repetitive lifestyle issues that have taken us so far away from Him. And the woman walked away with a new lease on life because Jesus had pointed positive. Things did not look well for the sisters. The brother was sick, and so the appeals for Jesus went out just a few miles from there. The runner came and told Jesus, and Jesus didn't come and didn't come and didn't come. And eventually the brother died, and they buried him. 4 days later, Jesus shows up and begins to have a conversation with the sisters. And as he has the conversation with the sisters, he makes a statement in John 11, 25. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. They were, God only knows how far from the graveyard. He'd been dead for 4 days, but Jesus is pointing positive. He's pointing at himself and saying, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Just like he pointed to them and said, I am the light of the world as long as I am in the world. Just like he pointed to himself as the deliverer and the one that can forgive. Mary wept and Jesus groaned in his spirit, the Bible says. And then Jesus asks for the strangest thing. He doesn't just speak, but he acts positive. And he says, take me where they laid him. And I don't know if they expected for him to put a bouquet of flowers at the door of the tomb. Or he just wanted to stand in contemplation and silence and grieve and think in his own self of the great times that they had of meals together. But instead, he says, why don't you roll that stone away? Why? Remember, Jesus has said, I am the resurrection and the life. And when Jesus pointed positive, it was always to himself. But you and I can point positive toward him because we are nothing, but he is all things. We are incapable, but he can do anything. And they rolled the stone away. But in the argument, they said, he stinks. He's been dead 4 days. This is way too long. In the philosophy of the Jews of that day is that if they were dead 3 days, then their spirit departed, and the fourth day they were really dead. That was just the philosophy they had. There's no biblical evidence. There's no God statement of that. But Jesus had waited long enough that they could never say it was them, or he was just comatose, or it was just accidental, or it hadn't been long enough. He waited till there was an impossibility by man, and then he became not just the possibility, but the probability and the promise. And after they rolled the stone away, John 11, 43 says, Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot in grave clothes, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Another positive statement. And they had to unwrap yards of gauze or cloth that had been soaked in ointment. And I don't know if they were plugging their nose, but I'm telling you, I don't have very good gag reflexes, and there's a lot of things that I could just take for a moment or so. I've got to hold my breath. I don't know if they held their breath and ran around in circles, but eventually he was loosed, and he was so free that the men of the temple wanted to kill him so that people would not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, when there was the most negative thing that could be, an eternal separation, or at least a lifelong separation. Jesus pointed positive and said, I am the resurrection and the life. I read to you again, 2 Timothy 1 and 12, but this time out of the Amplified Version. And this is why I am suffering as I do, for the gospel's sake. Still I am not ashamed, for I know, perceive, have acknowledged, am acquainted with him whom I have believed, adhered to, and trusted in, and relied on. And then listen to this. I am positively persuaded that he is able to guard and keep that which has been entrusted to me and which I have committed to him until that day. He was saying, I am positively persuaded that it's going to be all right. Everything I've given to him, he's taken. My sin, my shame, my weakness, my fears, my doubt, and everything he gave to me, forgiveness and cleansing and newness of life and the power of eternal life. He's going to take care of it. You see, you and I can't take care of it, but he has it all in his hands. You and I cannot heal, but he is the Lord that heals all of our diseases. You and I cannot forgive sins, but we can preach the forgiveness of sins and lead people to a renewal and a refreshing and release from sin. We must point positive toward him. But sometimes we need to point the way for ourselves. I remember years ago, this just flashed into my mind. It was just north of here, passing Kelso, Longview area, when I was a young teenager. I was maybe 15 years old, and I'd had my driver's license a little bit, and we were on a family vacation, and we were heading southbound on I-5, and we were in that old Plymouth station wagon, and it was new then, but it's old now. But we're driving down the road, and my dad's letting me drive on the freeway. And for those of us older people, we remember that Chrysler products, they're real light in the steering. Just, I mean, it didn't take much. And you're driving down the road, and they said, look, there's a nuclear power plant. And I looked out of the nuclear power plant, and my dad said, hey, get your eyes back on the road. Because I started to look, go where I was looking. And he says, you go where you look. And so you look where you want to go. And I've never forgot that. We've got to point positive when we're in the struggle of our life. We've got to get our eyes on the prize and look over our finger. Point at that scripture. Point at that reference point where God delivered us in a time gone by. Point at the testimony of a brother or sister and point positive and say, if God's on your side, he's on my side, and say, if God be for us, who can be against us? When you're lonely, point positive, like the writer of Hebrews said in verse 5 of chapter 13, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Point positively. Read the word of God. Quote it if you've got it memorized. And enjoy his presence. And realize, even when we feel like we are far from him, we know that he is very nearby. When you're fearful, point positive and agree with David from Psalm 56 and 3. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God I will praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. And turn your fear into anticipation and point positive and say, God is on my side. I may have fear, but I won't fear what flesh can do unto me. I may have this expectation of something negative, but I've got to turn it into something positive. And I'm telling us, we have the ability to transform the way we think or reinterpret the emotions that we feel. Just like this morning when we failed, we're singing, I am not afraid. And we're singing those songs and we're going, oh, I'm going to lift my hands to you. I know he's on my side. We may have come into this house and there's this gut feeling. And it's almost like that sinking feeling that we have right at the top of the roller coaster. And before your stomach ever goes to your throat, you can already feel the anticipation of it rising. That's part of the joy of it, isn't it? And part of the real joy is getting off the stinking roller coaster and saying, I'm all right. But we feel that. And we come into the house of God sometimes, like some of you did today, and we have that feeling, and our stomach is just all butterflies because we know it's going to end up here. And we've read the story about the guy that stood up on the roller coaster and fell off, or we read about the car that went zinging off. I remember the first real good roller coaster I ever rode. It was at Lakeside Amusement Park in Denver. It was a wooden roller coaster, and it even did a loop. And it went out over the lake. It was called Lakeside Amusement Park. And I'm just a little kid, and we're visiting grandparents and cousins, and we go to Denver from Boulder, and we're going there, and we're so excited. And one of my uncles had the foreknowledge and the forethought and the great idea to tell us that a year before, some sailor had stood up in the car to celebrate, and it cut his head off, and his body went into the lake. And made the anticipation so great. And we waited. And the clackety-clack, if you've ever ridden, anybody ever ridden a wooden roller coaster? They're just really exciting, aren't they? It's just like, yeah, they're wooden, man. You know, we think it's going to break. Don't worry. Bolts break as easy as wood breaks. And, you know, if it's engineered right, these crazy roller coasters, I think they might still have one in Santa Cruz, a wooden roller coaster. They used to have one, and it's right there on the beach. And we rode that roller coaster, and I survived. But it's having survived, it's having come into the house of God and felt that sinking feeling, only to have the worship begin and feel that lifting feeling and going, hey, that's no longer fear, that's anticipation. I'm in the presence of the Lord. I'm going to see how He saves me. I'm going to look to see how He rescues me. I'm going to walk out of here different than when I walked into here. And turn your fear into anticipation. When you feel threatened by the world system, point positive and join with the early New Testament believers out of Acts 4 after they were threatened never to preach in Jesus' name. And they prayed, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that we with all boldness may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word with boldness. When you're fearful, join a prayer meeting with a brother or sister. Come into the house of God and pray and open up yourself to a fresh outpouring and a shaking power of the Holy Ghost and say, God, I'm going to ride that roller coaster. I'm going to take that challenge. You have told me go and preach. You have told me go and make disciples. You have told me go and teach. And that fear may grip, but that fear is just as well anticipation of what God is going to do. And when you feel weak and incapable of what God has called you to do, point positive with Paul as he spoke to the church at Philippi in chapter 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Through Christ who strengtheneth me. It's not what's done outside of you. It's done by Christ through you. God has given you and I the power to walk through the water, through the fire. We won't be burnt. We won't be overwhelmed. We won't be swallowed up. When I face fear, others may be fearful around, but we have that placid calm assurance. Why? Because we pointed at what thus saith the word of the Lord. And when you face adversities, point positive. And I know I'm giving you a glut of scriptures, but join the positive words of Paul in his letter to the church at Corinth. He's talking about going to Ephesus, and he said, but I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great and effective door has opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Paul said, it's all right. There's a great and effectual door. There's adversaries. There's a great and effectual door. There's adversaries. adversaries, there's a great and effectual door. He saw the adversaries, but obviously what he did bore fruit, because we have a letter to the church at Ephesus, a growing, thriving church, because God was on his side. And when you've stumbled, point positive to the positive words of Micah, and say to your enemy, as he did in Micah 7:8, rejoice, do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, then he says, the Lord will be my guide. I have some positive news for you. If you've stumbled, you're going to arise. You're just going to get back up. It may not be springing up. You may crawl up. You may feel like a little baby pulling on the edge of the table and pulling yourself up wobbly into a standing position. But if you can just get up, God is on your side. Point positive in your word. I'm not just giving you the power of positive thinking. I'm giving you words from the undying word of God. He who liveth and abideth forever. Not the word, not some word that is written by Rand McNally on a roadmap. Not from some crazy publisher in this world who refuses to publish those things that are positive. But this was published in heaven. It was declared in a place far above all earth, and it's going to be there when all of this mess is gone. The word of God will stand. I'm positive about this. And as you stand with me, even when you have sinned, you can point positive. Point to the positive words of John the Beloved in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When your boat's being swamped, point positive and remember that Jesus stood up and said, peace be still, and there was a great calm. When you've stretched your faith and you're sinking like Peter was as he looked at the waves, point positive and let Jesus grab you by the hand and walk you back to the boat. And now back to our whitewater rafting story. Remember the statement that was repeated at the end of the safety orientation? Watch and listen to the voice of your guide. Look at us. We will always be pointing positive. This is the way it happened from where I was sitting in the boat. I was sitting in the rear section on the left. No, the right. Well, whatever. The details get kind of mixed up in the story because they happen so fast and they speed up and yet they slow down in your mind. We were swiftly approaching the most turbulent of the rapids. It was the last one on the journey. This was the last of the rapids and it had a steep drop in the rapids with a large rock right center. We were keenly aware of the instructions being shouted by our guide over the roar of the rapids, and we had watched others go before us and get pinned under the rock. In fact, we had heard the guides talking to each other and said, did it really happen? Did it really happen? Yes. And believe it or not, it wasn't a Kmart special or something from Walmart, but they actually collapsed a raft just shortly before us. We paddled hard trying to avoid a collision with a large rock, but we were unsuccessful. The guide had been steering, but our strokes were not strong enough, and we collided with the rock, and our raft was pinned against the rock by the force of the current, and we were in danger of flipping. And we had turned sideways, and we were almost pointing backwards down the stream. And upon being stuck on the rock, the instructor said, the high side, high side, high side. And we moved to the high side. And he said, higher, higher, higher. And we're climbing up almost on the edge of the raft because it's tilted so far. And we all shifted to the high side. And that made me feel a little vulnerable, just like life does sometimes. And as we shifted, we bumped into each other. And this action helped to release the pressure of the current that was pinning the raft against the rock. And the boat began to spin as we were released from the rock. What a relief. But what happened next was very surprising. I'm sure we collided with our fellow passengers, and within seconds of our raft beginning to spin, all of us tried to find our previous seating positions on the raft, and I'm assuming that that caused a little bit of imbalance. First one friend and then the other went overboard. My mind began to connect the dots, and I started to move forward toward the side of the raft where our fellow travelers were about to be pinned by the raft against a rock wall where the current was swirling and it was deep. But just as I started to move, I felt something brush by me, and I saw our guide, probably three strides, and he's at the front right-hand side of the raft. And he's not worried about the raft flipping. He's worried about the man overboard. And he reached in and grabbed Troy's vest and just went, and he's back in his seat. But Jennifer had also fallen out. And he reached and grabbed her and pulled her in. And she laid long ways across the bow of the raft. And her face was pointing at us. And her legs were hanging half out of the raft, and she was laughing hilariously. Hadn't lost her glasses. Of course, we got straps for our glasses so they wouldn't fall off. When we asked if she was okay, she responded through laughter, "That was fun." And she continued to lay there laughing. She lost her paddle. Now we only had four, including the guide. But the amazing thing was, is we did everything we thought we knew how to do, but we were so slow that when we were too slow, our guide came to the rescue. The one who had said, "I'll point positive," he did the right thing. We were all shocked later in retrospect as we talked about it as we rode home. And when we had dinner that night, it's like, how in the world did he do it so fast? And he did it so quickly that Jennifer didn't even realize that Troy had fallen over. She was so in the midst of trying to keep her head above water that she didn't realize her husband was right behind her and he was out. And she's just thinking about her rescue. See, we do the best that we can for each other. We've got to point positive and say, what time I am afraid, I will trust in Him. When I can't do it, I will say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When I've stumbled and fallen, I'm so disgusted with myself and I'm embarrassed at what I've done, I've got to say, rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord, He will be my guide. Such is life. Sometimes we fall over and we get soaked, and our fellow travelers may try to save us, but our guide will be swift to ensure that we end up back on board. I can hear our guide speaking, "Look at me. I will be pointing positive." It's obvious because of my standing here today that we all made it safely to our destination. And as believers, we must always be pointing positive. I have a positive word for you today. As born again believers, we are on the winning side. As born again believers, He will never leave us or forsake us. He knows when you're weak. You're so sick you can't do anything. You just rest in Him and you let Him take care of the rest. He knows how. You know, you can't run all the time. The runner's got to rest. They've got to get strength. They got to get their vitamins. They got to get rehydrated. Life is not just something we run through. It's a marathon. It's a continuation. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. But it's not in our own strength, but it's in His strength. There are hundreds, if not thousands, in this metropolitan area that are listening for a positive voice in their life. There is a host of individuals that are longing for a word of hope. There are many looking for someone who is pointing positive. Jesus is looking for partners that will point positive. I know we can't heal, and I couldn't heal the guy that changes my oil, but I could say, sir, I know the one that heals all of our diseases. It might be, it could be, there's a good chance if we pray together, God can arrest that disease in your life and restore your body. And in the midst of his own persecution, the Apostle Paul wrote these words to the church at Rome in Romans 8:38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Is there anybody that just wants to thank him for his goodness? You just want to come and point at the guide today and say, I got my eyes on you. I'm looking at you, Jesus. Here's looking at you. Here's looking at your word. Here's looking at your promises. Here's looking at what you've done in the past. And I know that's just a little minuscule fraction of what you are able to do. That's beautiful. Just point positive. Jesus is on your side. He'll take care of it. Thank you, Jesus, for your graciousness.